I am Loki of Asgard, and I am burdened with glorious purpose. I know what kind of god I need to be. For you. For all of us. But before I can be that god, Colby, you need to give us the music. My name is Johnny J, and this is episode 80 of the DMSW podcast. Welcome back to the show. This is the DMSW podcast. This is episode 80, and today we are talking all things Loki season 2. But before we get into that show on Disney Plus, want to head over to Apple Podcasts. We had a new review come in recently, and the cool thing about this review is that it is an international review. So luckily, Jamie, who sent me this review, was kind enough to take a screenshot and sent it to me in a DM, because as you've heard me mention on the show before in the past, for some reason, the way Apple Podcast does their reviews, when somebody from outside the United States leaves a written review, there's no notification to us here in the States. We can't even see it. They don't push it onto the app where we can see it. So if you are somebody that has found this podcast and enjoys listening to it and has taken the time to leave a written review on the Apple Podcasting app, and you haven't heard me read it here on the air, then please, by all means, do the same thing that Jamie did here. Take a screenshot and DM it to me over on Instagram at the DMSW Podcast. Now, Jamie's review that she just sent in, she titled it Episode 77 Was So Helpful, and she wrote in, "This was so informative. It has definitely helped in narrowing down the resorts I would choose to go to when we book our first trip to Walt Disney World. Easy to listen to and understand. So glad you're back, Johnny." So, Jamie, thank you so much for reaching out and sending me that five-star rating and writing that review. Jamie is on Instagram herself. You can find her at FamilyMagicUK, and that is also the name of her YouTube channel, at Family Magic UK over there on YouTube. So if you want to learn more about the Disneyland Paris Resort, Jamie is going to be your source that you're going to want to reach out to, whether it is on Instagram or, like I said, if you go check out her YouTube channel where she puts up a ton of videos about going to the parks there over in Disneyland Paris. We're going to have Jamie actually coming on the show with us very soon. So very excited to have Jamie come on as a guest. And the other cool thing about Jamie that I want to let you guys know about is that she recently launched her very first podcast with her friend Steven, and the name of their show is the Jamie and Steven Show. Let's talk movies, music, and magic. And the format that they've been going with their show is they went all the way back in time to the very first Disney animated movie, and every episode they basically just watch that movie and then talk all about it. They give you the history behind it, their opinions on it, what they liked and what they didn't like. So congrats to Jamie and Steven for launching their first Disney podcast together. Wish you guys all the best of luck. Again, it is the Jamie and Steven Show. Let's talk movies, music, and magic. You can find it in Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the other major podcasting apps. But thanks again, Jamie, for sending that review into the show. And we look forward to having you here on the DMSW podcast very soon as our first international guest. So that'll be very exciting to get you on here and do a full interview on the podcast. At this time, I also want to remind anybody out there, if you are somebody that has been listening to this podcast for a while now, if you follow on Instagram and you like what I'm doing over there on Instagram, and you haven't had a chance yet to leave one of those five-star ratings and written reviews on Apple Podcasts, I would ask you now, it's the holiday season. You want to get me a gift? The perfect gift would be a podcast review. There is nothing that you can do for those podcasts out there that you listen to, and I always try to mention this too. don't just do it for my podcast. Any of the other podcasts out there that you listen to, the best thing that you can do for those hosts and those producers and those folks out there working hard behind the scenes to create that content and make those episodes for you guys to listen to each and every week is to just take 2 minutes and write a couple of sentences and put it up there on Apple Podcasts. Those reviews really do help catch that magic of that Apple podcasting algorithm and will help get the show pushed out there to more people searching the Disney hot keywords, Disney and Marvel and Star Wars and Disney vacations and Disney Park. So if you can take that time and write one of those reviews, please do so for this show and for all those other great Disney podcasts out there that you listen to as well. It is easily the best thing you can do to help all the podcasters out there that you enjoy listening to. But today's episode is all about Loki Season 2. And if you remember from the past when I've done review episodes here on the podcast, I still don't feel like I've found my groove in the review space. I've done very long episodes. I've done shorter episodes. I've done episodes where I combine multiple shows or multiple projects into one episode and try to cram and knock out a bunch of different things at the same time in a single episode. I've played with the rating system on how I rate the movies and what I give them for a score. I don't feel like I've hit that perfect combination yet. So it's still a work in progress here. Trying to find the right magic that works. I've done episodes where we get into very, very specific detail. We go through all the different plot points of a movie. We go through episode by episode of the show and break down the episodes fully. Today, we're going to try another new format here today. We're going to go for a shorter episode here. We're not going to go too into the nitty-gritty. We're not going to go into breaking down every one of the 6 episodes that we had in this Loki Season 2 project. So we're going to try to, like I said, change it up here a bit again. Let me know what you guys think. Give me the feedback because we have 2 more review episodes that need to get done. We need to talk about the Marvels movie and we need to talk about the new Disney animated movie Wish as well. So we're going to try something out, like I said here, new today for this, to talk about Loki Season 2. Let me know what you guys think, and if it feels like this might be the right format, if we're finally kind of hitting the nail on the head here with how we're doing it for Loki Season 2, then we can try to bring it back next week or the week after or something like that and do them for those 2 movies that we also need to talk about here as well. But today's episode, like I said, is all about Loki Season 2. Another thing to bring up, I've done episodes where I do spoiler-free content. I do spoiler-heavy episodes right after that. And like I said, it still doesn't feel like I've found the right spot to be in here yet. But this episode today, I will tell you now, before we get into anything, is going to be just spoiler-heavy right from the start. I kind of played with the schedule, the release schedule, and the episodes that I did here over the last few weeks. So kind of tried to wait and give people enough time to make sure that they finished watching the season, if they were a little bit behind by a couple of weeks or so. So the show's been wrapped up for, I think, long enough now that it's safe to talk about all the... You can't really go on to any Marvel content online on Instagram right now or Facebook and not see all the different clips and pictures from the season finale episode, very specific way that this episode or this season ended. So... I think it's safe to just go right out of the gate here, right from the start of the episode, and just go full-on spoiler-heavy right out of the gate. And if you remember from the past, too, I think as far as the review episodes go, those are up in the air, but I do feel like I've kind of found the right spot to be in as far as how I give a final score. And what I've come up with here, basically, for the DMSW podcast news is... Very simple, very, very simple, just a 5-point grading scale. So any movie or TV show that I talk about here on the podcast that I give a review to, it's going to just be on a scale of 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And the easiest way to think about it is if I give it a 5, it is an absolute Hall of Fame level, just as great can be. It's extremely rewatchable, and it is nearly flawless, if not absolutely just perfect quality product. A score of a 4 is going to be a great movie or a great TV show with some very cool moments, some very memorable lines that you're going to be quoting for a very long time. But you can tell that there's just, it's not in that upper echelon of just the all-time best of the best of the best. A 3 is just going to be just a very solid, decent project, but nothing really kind of blows your mind. Nothing really knocks your socks off. Nothing incredibly memorable from it, but it's definitely, there's not really anything wrong with it either. It's just kind of floating right through the middle, kind of coasting right there is just kind of your average standard project. A 2 would be more of a slightly disappointing project, but it's not completely horrible. If you kind of come into a room, think about it this way, if you come into a room and somebody's already watching it, you might sit down and go ahead and give it another watch and try it out. If you might on your own put it back on one more time in the future to try to give it another watch and see if there's anything you missed, see if you want to change your mind at all. But then at the very bottom is a 1. And a 1 is just a complete dumpster fire, just an absolute piece of junk that you cannot stand and you have no intentions of ever watching again. You know right out of the gate that it was horrible and you're never going to watch it again. And even if somebody else is watching it, you're just going to keep walking right through that room because it's just nothing that's worth your time, nothing that you ever want to watch again. So I feel like that simple, very simple 5-point scale has been working for us here on the show. We don't even do half points. We don't do quarter points, none of that stuff. We literally just keep it to those 5 points. And when it comes to this Loki show, for me, I ended up landing on a 4. So I do feel it is the best Disney Plus project that we've gotten in the MCU to date so far. But I don't even know how to really put my finger on it. I don't know exactly what it was. I just know that when I think of the MCU being at its absolute best, and I think of Infinity War, and I think of Endgame, I think that this Loki show was very close to that, but just wasn't quite at that level maybe yet. Now, this season was only 6 episodes long, and when I try to go back and think about, okay, if I'm going to give it a 4, how could I have got it to a number 5? Because I did really, really love this project, and like I said, I do feel like it was the best Disney Plus show that MCU has put out to date. And for me, I honestly feel like it was kind of cramped and they kind of forced or maybe chopped and edited a little bit more than they really should have to try to fit the show down into just 6 episodes. And if you look at the schedule that's been on the calendar, now that this show is wrapped up, there's no more MCU projects coming until later in December when it's the animated show of What If Season 2. And then we don't have Echo, and the next live-action MCU project, Echo, does not come out until January of next year. And there's no Star Wars projects coming out right now in live-action on Disney+. So to me, you had the opportunity there. You had an open calendar where you could have, you know, stretched this show out. And I don't think you needed more than 8 episodes. I think if you start getting into the 10, 12, 13 type of episode seasons like they used to have back in the HBO days when shows were really cranking, some of the Netflix projects that you can think of out there have been 12 episode seasons. But I don't even think you really needed to go that far. But I really do think if you had just given us 2 more episodes that were in that same type of time frame, around 40 to 50 minutes maybe for each episode, and you made this a full 8-episode season, I think you could have fleshed out a little bit more detail about how Loki really kind of figured out the whole time-slipping thing that he was doing in the show. I mean, there's obviously a suspension of disbelief when you're watching a comic book movie or a superhero movie. Anyways, you're just going to accept certain things can happen. So when a superhero learns how to just magically time travel, you just go, okay, well, you know, he can change shape. He can, shoot green fireworks. He can move a building in what he did in, back in Loki season 1. There's all kinds of crazy things that Loki can do. So is it really that crazy to believe that he can learn how to do time travel over time? No, obviously not. But I think the success of this show was how amazing the actors did and the great storytelling that they did in the stories that they told over these six episodes. And I think if they just added to it a little bit more and went into a little bit more detail, I think there was a little bit maybe left on the table, which is, for me, why it got a 4 and not that full 5 points on the DMSW score scale here for this episode, or for this season in this project here on Disney Plus. When I think back to Loki Season 1, the character of Sylvie and Ravonna Renslayer were outstanding actresses doing outstanding performances in that first season. And I, especially with Renslayer, I feel like she really had a step back in screen time for here in Season 2. And I kind of felt that way for Sylvie as well. Felt like Sylvie kind of took a backseat this season as well. But I feel like the time that we lost with those characters was filled with more screen time for Loki and Mobius, played by Owen Wilson. And those two performances were absolutely grand slam home run, walk-off home runs. They were fantastic. Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson absolutely killed it this season. The acting was fantastic. So just, again, another reason where I think another couple of episodes, you could have built in some more story for Renslayer and for Sylvie and given them a little bit more to do in this second season to help give them some more story that we could have dove into here in this second season. But all in all, the story and the plot, when I think about for the season as a whole, I kind of give that a 4 out of 5. So again, just some of the best product that we've ever seen on Disney Plus for the MCU. But to me, it just, like I said, by cutting back some of the screen time for some of the characters, and feeling like things were kind of squished and rushed into just the six episodes, that's that reason where it's not getting a perfect 5 for me out of that category there. But the acting itself, 5 out of 5 for everybody involved in the show. There was not an actor or performance in the show that I did not like. Obviously, Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson, like I said, as Loki and Mobius, absolutely fantastic in this season. Sophia DiMartino as Sylvie was, once again, just as great as she was in Season 1. Just as great, to the point where, like I said, it made you feel like we kind of got chipped out, and it would have been great to get some more screen time from her. Jonathan Majors was back as a Kang variant, as He Who Remains, as Victor Timely. Great performances as well from him. Now, there's obviously a lot of real-life stuff going on with him and his court case. We're going to obviously leave all that to the side. Any comments I make about Jonathan Majors is only focused on purely his acting and his performance in this season. But once again, as we've seen in the past with his performances as this character on screen, he has been fantastic as well. The other returning characters that we got, Wunmi Mosaku as B-15 and Eugene Cordero as Casey, feels like both of those characters got a little bit more of an expanded role this in this season. Maybe, like I said before, with the downplaying of Ravonna Renslayer and Sylvie in this second season, it kind of opened up the door a little bit more for some more scenes for these two. They both absolutely crushed it. But speaking of crushing it, I feel like the one of the biggest things as far as the acting goes in this second season of Loki, it was almost back to Marvel being the best in the game at casting the perfect actors for the smaller roles, the middle roles, that just absolutely nail it and just knock it out of the park. And whether that is Ki Huy Quan as Ouroboros, or Rafael Casal, Liz Carr and Katie Dickey, all these new actors and actresses that they brought in this season just absolutely nailed their roles. But I really think the rookie of the year, if you can call it that, the new face for this show, Ki Huy Quan, was just absolutely fantastic as OB or Ouroboros in the second season. He brought the perfect amount of comedy when I was talking about it to a friend of mine at work, we were talking about how in the past it feels like some of these Marvel movies, Thor, Love and Thunder, I'm looking at you, it just feels like they went so far over the line on the comedy side of things and just put way too much emphasis on the comedy and the jokes. And it almost felt forced at times, like they were just jamming jokes down your throat that you didn't even want. But Ouroboros in this second season, every time he delivers a line, almost every time, it gets a laugh out of you. He was just absolutely fantastic in this show. So excited to see him win an Oscar last year. And I don't know what awards you can give out for this show, whether it's Emmys or what they're going to be giving out for this show. But I want him to just keep on his winning ways, because he was just such an enjoyable new character in this season of Loki. The next category on the list there to kind of go through was the ease to follow and the believability of it. So as I kind of mentioned there before, when you're watching a superhero movie or a comic book movie, obviously there's going to be a lot of suspension of disbelief. But to me, one of the things that will drop the score down the fastest in this category for me is when you just kind of, you do things just for the sake of being lazy, or you really, really need something to happen, and rather than right away or find a way to make it make sense and develop and build up a backstory to why this thing needs to happen or why this superpower exists now with this character, you just kind of you just get right to the finish line and just have it show up just because it can, because it's superhero world. And that's why, and for this one, I gave it a 4 out of a 5. And I kind of touched on this earlier, like I said, when I mentioned that it feels like they could have gone into explaining things a little bit more in depth. It's not that they did it in a bad way on the show. It's just it felt a little bit rushed, being only 6 episodes long. So if we had seen at least a half an episode, if maybe not even pushed out into a full episode of really explaining what Loki does to kind of figure out how to control his time slipping, I think it would have brought that 4 right up to a number 5, and could have potentially brought the entire show up to a perfect 5 score here for me on the DMSW scale. Now, the lowest rated category that I used to kind of come up with my score is just thinking about the CGI. For me, the CGI was just a 3. It wasn't bad by any means, but it really didn't didn't blow my mind either. It felt like the majority of the budget was saved up for right at the very end of the final episode, which makes sense. That is the most important season, or the most important part of the entire season. It is going to easily be the most memorable part of the entire season. So it makes sense to make sure that part of it looks fantastic. But some of the other scenes earlier through the season looked a little bit clunky, a little bit cheap, or penny pinched there. Even in the final episode, when Loki time slips back to the first episode of Loki season 1, where he's in the room with Owen Wilson's character sitting at the table with the replay machine there, they have a different discussion here during this final episode, and then they get up from the table. They shake hands, and Mobius kind of turns to the spaghetti, and Loki leaves and time slips out of this room in this moment in the final episode. That whole background, that whole scene there felt very kind of clunky to me, felt a little bit off there. So that's the reason for me the CGI just gets a 3 for this season. And then the last part of the category here for me is the overall music and the score that goes into the season. And for me, this was the other part of the breakdown here. For me, they got a full 5 out of 5. Natalie Holt absolutely crushed it with the music this season. I felt like Loki had some great music in season 1, the Loki theme to the show, the TVA theme, and the Loki green kind of theme song as well were all fantastic. But I felt like she really kind of added to them and brought them up even another level. And the music was just absolutely fantastic. The way they did some of the, they changed things up on some of the openers with the Marvel titles crawl there at the beginning of a couple of the episodes when they went back in time to first get Victor Timely, and you heard the old ragtimey kind of version of the traditional MCU theme song was so cool. The way she did it in reverse on the final episode of the season, that was very cool. And like I said, just that Loki, that Loki theme song, that green theme song that we hear all the way right through the end of the episode where Loki is climbing the stairs and grabbing those timelines, giving them life and sitting in that chair. That is just one of the all-time best Marvel theme songs that's out there for a specific character. So hats off to Natalie Holt. Again, whatever awards they give out for a Disney Plus show, I hope she wins all of them when it comes to the music. She was easily one of the coolest parts of the season. And like I said, she gets the music and the score with what she did. Got a 5 out of 5 for me as well. So when you average out those five different categories on those scores, for me, it shook out to a 4.2, which is what I gave for the overall season, which is just the, like I said, is the 4 on the DMSW scale. Now, as far as this kind of overall thoughts on the season and the character of Loki, it's a little bit open-ended, which I kind of like the way they did it. They left it in a way, I felt like this was almost similar to how they ended it with the Scarlet Witch character at the end of the last Doctor Strange movie, where if Tom Hiddleston needs a break and they want to go in a different direction and they don't want to use the Loki character for a while, they certainly can do that, and it makes sense. From a storyline and a plot aspect, they put Loki in a place where he can certainly sit there for as long as they want him to sit there. And at any point in time, if they need to pull him out and bring him back for a future Avengers movie, or if they want to do a Loki season 3, that door is obviously open as well. So I like that they left it open, but to me, the very cool thing that they did was it's not exactly the same as the complete character arc that we got with RDJ and Tony Stark and Iron Man at Endgame, but it's pretty close. To me, this is it is right up there. If RDJ and Iron Man is my number one favorite character in the entire history of the MCU, I gotta tell you, Loki has jumped right up there to be the closest number two that you can get, if not even maybe a 1A at this point. That is one of my favorite things about the MCU and the Marvel Universe, is watching a character have a complete character arc and going from a good guy who's arrogant and selfish and completely crossing over and being the complete opposite and being completely selfless and making all decisions for what's good for your friends and your family, or the universe in this case here with Loki. So loved seeing Loki's character arc really go full circle. And like I said, as powerful it was as it was with how they ended things with Tony Stark and Iron Man in Endgame, it was great to see kind of him get a nice finish to his storyline. I am very glad that they found a way to end Loki's storyline, but like I said, leave it open if they want to bring him back as well. There's been rumors out there that Marvel is trying to bring back Captain America and Scarlet Witch and Iron Man, and it makes my skin crawl because they did such a good job giving those characters a proper send-off. I feel like bringing them back now with the way they sent them off would cheapen that ending that we got with them earlier in their MCU careers, but I don't feel like Loki has to play by those rules. I'm very content and very happy with how they ended things with Loki, but if you want to bring him back for Loki season 3 or the next Marvel movie, whatever it is that comes out, I'm all for it. And I don't feel like it cheapens what they did here with Loki. It's just a completely different thing. It's apples and oranges to what Tony Stark did, what Captain America did, and what Scarlet Witch did. So hopefully they keep those characters out of the MCU. I don't have a problem. They've talked about the Secret Wars project that we're now, I think, on the MCU calendar. The Secret Wars movie has been pushed out into like 2026, I believe, at this point, if not even maybe possibly 2027. I think there's even rumors out there that Secret Wars might end up getting split into two separate movies, similar to an Infinity War and an Endgame situation, and you'll have a Secret Wars Part 1 and a Secret Wars Part 2. So we are years and years away from coming to those projects, but to me, the storyline that the comics have with those, if you want to bring back RDJ and Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans to play those characters just to do a cameo of a different version of themselves, I'd be all for that. It would be very cool to see them come back and put those uniforms on one more time. But I don't want to get into that point where they're pulling them in from another universe and then they stay in the MCU that we know and they're just magically back just because we wanted them to be back. Bring them back for a quick cameo and a giant crazy portals type battle scene at the end of Secret Wars. All good with that. But to just bring them back as a new permanent character once again in the MCU, I think really would cheapen how things ended for them in their MCU careers. But Loki, completely different animal. Like I said, that was just such a chef's kiss, just a perfect way to end the season, to see him go and become absolutely selfless. And you see those dots connect in that final episode where he realizes he knows what he needs to do. He needs to be the one that makes the sacrifice for the good of all of his friends out there and for the entire multiverse as a whole. So Loki finally does get to be a god. He finally gets to have that power. He gets to sit on that throne, but it comes with a burden, which perfectly wraps up his famous quote, "I am Loki of Asgard, and I am burdened with glorious purpose." And they nailed that to a T with how they chose to wrap things up for him. It really takes his most famous line and really just puts it right up on the screen there for us to all to go, oh yeah, there it is. That's he is certainly burdened with glorious purpose now. So just a very, very cool way to end it here for Loki season 2 for his character. And like I said, my hands down, not even close, my favorite MCU project that they have brought to the MCU on the Disney Plus side. So great job by everybody involved with the show. Acting fantastic. Like I said, just whatever awards you have to give out, please give it to this show because they deserved it. Easily my favorite one. Now, to kind of sneak peek here into the future, the Marvels, not going to be as bright and cheery on that episode. Don't want to give too much away. That's a future episode here for a future day. But Loki season 2, fantastic. Marvels, not so much. But we'll get into that, like I said, on a future episode. That is going to wrap it up here for this episode. So again, reach out. Let me know what you guys think. This is obviously a different format here. Just trying to focus on the score that I gave and kind of break down different categories to help me explain how I got to that score and kind of leaving off the nitty gritty, breaking down detail by detail, episode by episode, ranking my favorite episodes, giving scores for all the different episodes type of thing. So let me know, reach out on Instagram at the DMSW podcast. If you're not somebody who's on social media, and you can write me an email, thedmswpodcast@gmail.com. But would love to hear from you guys. Love to talk about Loki season 2. If you just want to talk about the show in general and you're not, you don't even want to talk about the podcast format, you just want to go back and forth talking about different theories about where you think they're going to go with Loki in the future, by all means, reach out. Because Loki, like I said, is easily a top 2, if not tied for number 1 favorite character of mine now in the MCU. Just absolutely love the way they close things out for him with this second season of his show. So talk to you guys soon. Thanks again for checking out the DMSW podcast. We will talk to you guys next time. Take care.